Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Yud Tet. And the last thing that we learned, we were talking about all these incredible descriptions of the power and the money that's available in the West. And as we learned, as Rebbe explained, all of this is meant to be going to the Talmid HaChamim. And the last thing we learned, that it's going to be Yashvim Lefnei Hashem. And how do we do? Finally, Yoshvim Lifnei Hashem, Amar Rebbe Elazar. This was the first word on Kuf Yud Tet. Ze HaMakir Mekom Chaveiro B'Yeshiva. This is somebody. The simple meaning is that this is somebody who knows where everyone sits, which means that he is there all the time. But the deeper meaning that's brought by the Mefarshim is that people who recognize someone else's place. And in other words, you recognize the approach of each other person and the way in which that approach is important, even if it's different than you. So like we say, to be makir someone is to recognize and to accept their importance. That's the meaning of a makir makom chaviro b'yeshiva. So you have a sense of the totality of the people that are there, and each one, his approach and his dea is meaningful to you, and you can pinpoint what is unique about that particular individual. That this means somebody who is there to be mekabel. Again, pashta meaning is that you're there first and that other people come later. And the deeper meaning is that you provide him his sense of place. So as somebody comes to learn how he's valued, he comes to value himself. Now, what does the pasuk mean at the end when it talks about all of the things that are going to be? That it's lo yatzer v'lo yachasin kilif liyoshvim. I'm sorry, I'm in like a weird angle over here because I have to hold my gemara like down because I don't have anything to hold it on, so I'm looking down. So it says over there kiliyoshvim lifnei Hashem yiyeh. And then it adds at the end, ulemichse atik. So what exactly is lemichse atik? So that, the Gemara says, means that this refers to somebody who is careful when he is teaching things like ma'aseh merkava and ma'aseh vereshit, which you're only allowed to teach to an individual who is capable of understanding on his own and whose lev is dayeg bekir bay. So this refers to someone who is careful not to teach to the wrong people, which refers to Sitrei Torah, like Ma'aseh Merkava, Ma'aseh Bereshit. Others learn, Ikari Amre, L'michseh Atik, means that he is someone who is capable of explaining to people things that were covered in their original presentation by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is that referring to? That's referring to Tamei Torah. That's giving over all of the insights of the implications that the Torah Shebaal Peh is so full of, that takes a very long time to uncover. So it could be referring to one or to the other, or to both, of course. Omer of Kana Mishumri Bishmol Reb Yossi. What is the meaning of the Pasuk, once we're talking about Rishmol Reb Yossi here? Lam Natseach Mizmor LeDavid. Now, the two Lashonos, why do we need two Lashonos? Remember we said that we have Nitzuach is one of the Lashonos of Tehillim, of Shevach, and Mizmor is another one of the Lashonos of Shevach, of Shir. Why does it say both? Lam Natseach Mizmor LeDavid. Lam Natseach means Lashon Maf'il, meaning that I am making people be Minatseach. I cause them to be able to be in a position of outdoing me, kevayachol. Min zamrula mishin notzchim oto v'sameach. If somebody comes and he wins out over HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy. Because take a look, shloki midat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, midat basar v'dam. Midat basar v'dam, somebody has a position, and if somebody else undermines your position, so minatzchim oto v'yatzuf, that person who feels that he was won out by someone else is very deep depressed by it. Avol HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the exact opposite. Notzchim oto v'sameach. Shenemar, where do we see this? V'yomer l'hashmidem. Because here it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was wanted to wipe out Klal Yisrael, and whoa, fortunately, Lulei Moshe Bichiro Amad Beperetz Lefanav, it wouldn't be for his chosen one, Moshe, who stood up against him and prevented it from happening. So you see that he's so happy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kevayochel is happy, that he gave Moshe Rabbeinu, and of course we know from the Pasuk, that it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu who opened up the door to Moshe and told him to let go of me so that I can destroy them. So there was, he let Moshe know that in a davartoloi ela b. So that was part of the encouragement, and it's called over your Moshe Bechiro. So obviously he's very happy with that. Omer v'kana mishum nebishmom Reb Yossi. And some it's Reb Shimon ben Lakish who quotes Reb Yudah Nesiya. We have in the description of the Chayos on the Merkava in Yecheskel, it says over there, Videi Adam mitachat kanfehim al arbat rivehim. So it says that there were these the hands, human-like hands, underneath the wings of the Chayos on the Merkava. So the question is, why is it written in Loshon Yachid, Yado Ktiv? Why Yado instead of Yadav? This is Yado Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What this means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends forth his hands to be able to be Mekabel people b'tshuva. Now Yado always refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right hand. And the right hand is Kineged Midas HaChesed. And it means that he's bedavka hiding his left hand. So this is a reference to the fact that the Midas HaDin is arguing against being Mekabel b'tshuva. What, this person did so many chatoyim and you're going to accept him? It's like we found the story by Menashe and so on. Comes along the hidden hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that comes out underneath the chayos in order to be mekabel in a secret way so that Midas HaDin should not be able to be mastin. So this is the Rashbam puts it, is mekabel b'seser, in a way that is hidden, and therefore it isn't given over to Midas HaDin to argue with. Omer Reb Yudah Meshmuel, Kol Kesef Zahav Sheba'olam Yosef Laktov Hevi'o LeMitzrayim Shenemar VaLaket Yosef Et Kol HaKesef HaNimtza. Now you might think this means that Yosef HaTzadik, and of course the reason that we're bringing this over here is because the relationship that we have to Geula is very deeply based on what it was that we took out of Mitzrayim. That's the Achrechen Yitzu B'Rechush Gadol. And it turns out that that Rechush Gadol is not simply a local phenomenon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mavtiach Avram Avinu, because remember that the idea of Mitzrayim is that it's a model and it's a template for the Emach HaShecha Gedola Nofelet in the nature of Geula Bichlal. So that means every up and down of the Darga of Yisrael vis-a-vis the Umas Ha'elam is also measured in terms of those original riches and shlita over the riches of the world that began with Yosef HaTzadik. So it all came through Yisrael. And then it was given over to Mitzrayim. And then Yisrael recovered all of that money when they left Mitzrayim. And now the Gemara wants to go through what happened to that money in the course of history and to trace its ups and downs. So we know that it says, we know that Yosef HaTzadik certainly brought, it said, at Kol HaKesef HaNimtza Be'eretz Mitzrayim U'Be'eretz Kinan Ba'Shever. That it says. But how do we know more than the money that was in Eretz Mitzrayim and Eretz Kinan, that this became the essential economy of the world as a whole, so that the real global power, shlita over the global power of production, was in the end taken over by Mitzrayim? How do we know that? Talmud Lomar, v'chol ha'aretz bo Mitzrayim. That actually, in the end, the entire planet was dependent on the Mitzrim economy. U'kishalu Yisrael mi-Mitzrayim ha'alu imahem. After Klal Yisrael left Eretz Mitzrayim, they took all of that with them. Because it says over there, v'yinatzlu et Mitzrayim. That was even before Kriyas Yamsuf. There it says, Vashem natan et chena am b'nei Mitzrayim v'yashilum. And it says, v'yinatzlu et Mitzrayim. And Rav Asi says, the loshon of v'yinatzlu is asa'u ha'kimitzudazo, is being darshening over here, the lamed and the dalet. Lamed is mitchalefet bedalet often, as Tosis points out. So he's darshening it like, look, basically, yeah, Mitzrayim was like a trap in which when you want to entrap the birds, the way that you entrap the birds is you put something that is the dogon that will bring the birds there and so on. But that's exactly what it means to become the center, that food was put into Mitzrayim. And then the entire world had to come down to Mitzrayim as if they were being entrapped by Mitzrayim. Now that means that when they were vayinatzlu, they were vayinatzdu, which would be the other way that a word is used, something like the word pitted in English, right? If it's pitted, it means you took out the pit. The same thing is true over here. Vayinatzlu at Mitzrayim, vayinatzdu means you untrapped the traps. In other words, you took out all of the things that were there that were causing all of the people to come down to Mitzrayim. So they made it like a mitzudah zor she'in badagan. It would be like a trap that doesn't have any bait in it anymore. So basically, it no longer was the place that people would come to. Rabbi Shimon Omer, kimitzula. No, the lashon of vayinatzlu is basically like the mitzulot of the yam. She'in badagim. Look, if you want to talk about, you know, the tremendous riches, the riches of the ocean is almost entirely within the surface waters of the ocean, where you have enough plankton and you have enough sunlight that's coming down to provide what is necessary for fish to survive. In the mitzolot, at the bottom of the ocean, all that you have is the different life forms that are able to live on heat vents and so on, but it's not a mokum of dogim. And because of that, vayinatzlu means that the riches of Mitzrayim are now turned into the same, it's the same place, but it's like you're in the depths of the place that don't have anything to offer, which means that essentially they left, they took everything with them. V'haya munach ad rechava'am. So this was with Klal Yisrael all the way until Rechavam. But the first time that Klal Yisrael got into trouble, with serious trouble, with a foreign power, was when Shishak Melech Mitzrayim came, and he took away Natlo Rechavam. Shenemar vayibav shana chamishit Melech Rechavam, alav Shishak Melech Mitzrayim ha-Yerushalayim, vayikach et otzurot beit Hashem ve'et otzurot beit HaMelech. So he took it from them when he captured, when he defeated essentially Rehoboam. After that, we could trace that money. Bazerach Melach Kush, and he attacked Sheshach Melach Mitzrayim, and then Asa, when Asa was victorious over Zerach Melach Kush, he took all of that money from Zerach Melach Kush, but then Asa was in big trouble, and he had to pay Hadad Rimon ben Tavrimon in order to come and save his neck, so that he basically used all of that as tribute. Then the Bnei Amon came, and they took it from Hadad Rimon ben Tavrimon. And then Yehoshaphat, when he defeated Ammon, he took it from Ammon. And then it stayed with Klal Yisrael until Achaz. But then Sancheirev came and took it from Achaz, because they had to pay off Ashur. Then in the end, when Sancheirev came and attacked Chizkiyo, and then the Nes happened, and in those days, as the Rashbam points out, they used to take their riches to war with them, because that way they were very, very highly motivated to fight, because they didn't have anything to go back to. They had all of their money with them. And for that matter, it was very encouraging to keep the soldiers in the war effort, because Otherwise, they could easily try just to sneak away like this. They're looking forward to this immense, immense money that they get at the end of the war. And because of that, when Sancheriv's camp was totally wiped out by the Malach, all of that money remained behind. And Chizkiyahu was able to take it. Then that treasure remained by Klal Yisrael until Tzidkiyo, until the Bavliim came. Then the Persians, when they defeated the Bavliim, they took over the economy of the world. And then the Greeks, when they defeated the Persians, that was at the time of Alexander, they took it from the Persians. And then the Romans took it from the Greeks. And then, Adayin Munach Baroni, we're still in the middle of Golas Rum. And therefore, the story of the economy of the world that is still in the hands of the West and their progeny is still the story of our Golas today. Om Reb Chama Rebbe Chanina, Shalosh Matmoniot Itmin Yosef B'Mitzrayim. Now, there's a big question about whether is this chelek on what we said before, or is this just an explanation, in the sense that the pashtus is that the earlier sugya was assuming that, and this is what Shmuel was saying, that all of that money, every single penny that Yosef HaTzadik had taken to Mitzrayim, was taken at the time of the Vayenatzlu at Mitzrayim. Now, that obviously is incorrect, because we know that Godol Bizas Hayam from Bizas Mitzrayim. And that must mean anyway that the Vayenatzlu at Mitzrayim is not meant to be understood as leaving nothing behind, because how could there have been more at the Yam than there was even then? So there is no reason, I don't know why everybody takes it to mean that literally everything at that point was taken, because that's impossible. It was not taken. But okay, so on the Pashtus, you could say the Gemara means that this includes everything that ultimately Klal Yisrael came out with from Mitzrayim, if you wish to say that. Then it's a problem, because now this Gemara says that actually Yosef HaTzadik had three separate matmaniot, and he had hidden them in Mitzrayim. One of them was shown to Korach, and he made off with it. One was ultimately discovered by Rebbe's close friend, Antoninus ben Asfirius, and one of them is still there, Gnuzal et Tzadikim, Liatid Lavo. Now, the Pashtus, I mean, I don't see why it's problematic in any way. The Pashtus of the Sugya is that we're talking about two completely different things. We're talking about the money. The first Sugya of Shmuel is talking about the overall world economy, and those are the things that were in circulation, the things that were actually what it was that Yosef had brought in. These matmaniot, they're not part of that. These were separate stashes that were hidden away, enormous stashes that Yosef hid away for historical purposes. And the historical purposes indeed were served in different stages. One of them was the fact that Korach and everything that happened because of that found one of these and made off with it. And one of them indeed went to the friend of Rebbe. And one of them is still Munach, which means that Yosef had a vision of special things that he was matmim. And the mice of the Balei Kabbalah talk about this issue as meaning that there were secrets in terms of the, as we know, the derech of the Kabbalah is to view the whole process of Golas and Geula as also serving a very deep purpose, which in the Gemara is referred to as the fact that lo niglu Yisrael ala kadesh yitasfu behem gerim, and in order that the people that would have been lost to Yisrael would never have known what that was, if it wouldn't be that Yisrael was scattered across the globe. So that's why Klal Yisrael had to go into Golas, because so much of the most unique power of humanity is not in Yisrael. It has to be imported and assimilated from all over the globe. But that is translated by the Balei Kabbalah into a deeper concept, which are called nitzotzot, nitzotzot of Kedusha. So some of those nitzotzot of Kedusha are in the extraordinary neshamas that are found in Gerim across the world. but there are nitzotzos that are found just in terms of the achievement of a country, the inventions of a country, the contributions of a country, the art, culture, and so on of a country. And then there are deeper elements, and those are the things that Yosef HaTzadik collected, and they were meant for giluyim at different stages of human development, one only le'asid lavo, that people couldn't handle that yet. And in fact, that part is still tamun in Mitzrayim. Why anybody should think that this is a stira to the Gemara earlier is beyond me. But anyway, that I think that the way that we're learning it is the pashtus is the correct way to learn. Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, the meaning of the pasuk in Kohelet, Osher shamur lebaalav l'ra'ato, that there's such a thing as the preservation of wealth, which only does in the person who ends up having that wealth. You know what that's referring to? That's referring to this matmon that was discovered by Korach because it was the worst thing that ever happened to him. Because that's mamono shel adam. This is the Osho shel Korach, because we know that at the time of the Korach rebellion, so it says over there that when the earth swallowed them up, Dosen Vavira, it says that et kol hayikum asher baragliyim. What is a yikum asher baragliyim? Yikum is that which holds up a person. Omer Rebbe Lazar ze mamono shel adam shema amido al raglav. There is that which puts a person on his feet. And we talk about when we refer to helping someone out financially and to set him up to be able to make money, we call it putting him on his feet. When we talk about someone going bankrupt, we talk about pshitat regel in Hebrew, as it threads throughout the Gemara. Pashat lo et haregel means losing your ability to stand on your own. And this is a reference to that moment that was Helech le'ibud. Omer Rebbe Levi, Masur shalosh be'ot peredot levanot ayu mavtechot beit genazav shel Korach v'kulu aklide v'klipe de gilda. So the Rashbam learns that this is the typical Loshen Guzma. I remember we've seen many times that the number 300 is always used when the Gemara wants to indicate that it's just using a crazy number that is meant to be an exaggeration, hyperbole, essentially. And we always use 300 as an indication. So what the Gemara is saying over here is that the keys to the various storehouses that Korach had were made out of leather in order that they shouldn't weigh a lot, because normally locks and keys are quite heavy. So in order that he should be able to transport all of this through the midbar, he made them into leather, hard leather, and that way they would be much lighter than if they were made out of metal. Nonetheless, it took 300 of these perdot levanot. Why perdot levanot? Because remember that the Gemara in Chulin brings that meolam lo shalani adam amakat perdot levanot v'choya. So that nobody ever asked me, as a doctor, how to help if you've been kicked by a perdot levana, that there should be a way in which that wound can be cured. Now that means that if you're looking for a good, secure way, you don't need a dog. What you need is a pure de lavona. And that's exactly what he used to transport his treasure, or the keys to his treasure, the way these Rishonim are learning, where exactly the treasure was. I don't know. So, I mean, because of that, the Ben Ishchai learns that no, it doesn't mean maftechot, it means the actual treasure chest that they had, in which case it's not such a big deal to say it means literally 300. I mean, how much can a Pirda Lavana carry, you know? One chest on one side and one chest on the other side. Omer Shmuel bar Nachmini, Omer Rabbi Yonatan. Getting back to the Seder of the Hallel, because that's what we were in the middle of discussing. How do we understand? We spoke about Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and the way that there's a remes to their Yerida L'Kiv Shana Esh, the Aliyah Mikiv Shana Esh. But we also have various other remozim of when these things were said. So Omer Shmuel bar Nachmini, Omer Rabbi Yonatan. Odecha ki anditani, Amar David. And we're talking about the clearly those psukim that are a reference to Malchus Beis David, of the Evan Moasu Aboni Maitala Rosh Pina, and so on. So this clearly is a reference to the fact that the amazing coming of Shmuel to the house of Yishai and ending up with the very thing that everybody else had always treated like a piece of garbage and thrown out the back door and were used for taking care of the sheep and so on, that should end up being the saving of the whole future of Yisrael. That was an astonishing thing. So we want to try to recreate the scene. So the idea of Odecha Ki Ani Tani, we're going to concentrate over here on those specific psukim from Odecha down to the end of Hallel. So the Odecha Ki Ani Tani, this was David HaMelech, who was saying that either it means Ki Ani Tani, you answered me, which is a reference to the Milchama that he had earlier when he was able to defeat Goliath, or Ki Ani Tani is a reference to Anius. I'm thanking you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for making me the lowest of the low, because that's what it was that enabled me to be kind of the Madrega of Lesle Migarme Klum that made me a Melech, ultimately. My other brothers, even though they're much greater than me, but they never were able to be kind of that thing, that because of the way that they treated me, that was the reason that the Evan Masu Abonim Aitala Rosh Pina. Those words of Evan Masu Abonim Aitala Rosh Pina was the shock of Yishai, who was able to immediately see exactly all the ones that thought that they were the big Bainim, that the one they ignored was the son that was out the pasture, so to speak. So that Yishai said, Meit Hashem Haitazot Amru Echav Zeh Yom Asa Hashem. This is what Shmuel said. Oh no, Hashem Oshiano, God help us, please. And the brothers of David said, of course, we're being medayik that because of it's the all of this is things that could be said by a rabbim as well. Oh no, Hashem Oshiano. So the brothers said, Oh no, Hashem, but I really think it does mean that. Oh no, Hashem, Hatzlichana, because we're being medayik that the Hatzlich. I'm the one who needs to brachem Hatzlocha. You're the guys that need to be saved from this mess. Well, obviously, it's also a tefillah that the David should be able to be Mashiach Yisrael. Baruch haba b'shem Hashem, this Yishai said to Shmuel, and Shmuel told them, Baruch luchem b'beit Hashem, that Shmuel said. But that was said before, was said on the coming of Shmuel, before it was clear who this child was supposed to be. So David, Shmuel was mevorech all of them. And then El Hashem v'yayir lanu, that we should be zeicher, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be meir einenu as to which one of us is meant to be the melech. That is Loshen Rabbi, Omru Kulam. And then afterwards, Isru Chag Ba'avotim, Omar Shmuel. So then Shmuel was suggesting that the way to respond to this is to be Bakriv Shlomim as a sign of Akaras Teva. Amar David. Now the correct girsa here is probably Eliata Vodeka Lohayer Omemeka Amar David. Hodu Hashem Kitov Ki Leolam Chasto. So that was said by all of them. That's what appears in other girsaot. Tzanos. So now getting back to the dinim of the Hallel. So we have a little bit of the insight of the Rabbazim of the Hallel. Of course, the dinim of the Hallel, many of the inyanim we had in Masechet Sukkah, because that's where we actually say the Hallel for the entire time of the Chag. On Pesach, the Hallel is miyuchad for the first night and day of Pesach. So Tzanasim, in Sukkah we learn that Mokam shenahagu lichpol yichpol, Livshot, Yivshot. There were places where they used to double all of the Hallel, the same way that we do when we double Odecha Ki Ani Tani, Vatili Yeshua, Odecha Ki Ani Tani, Vatili Yeshua. There were places where the minhag was to double the entire Hallel. And Livshot, where the minhag was just to say it once. So then say it once. These minhagim are not, they're just different minhagim. Hakokim in Haga Medina. Some people had the bracha of Yalalucha and some didn't. Omer Abaye, wait a minute. That's only benogea, the bracha after the halal. Lo shono ela la'acharav, aval lefanav, mitzvah levarech. To say a bracha before the halal, that for sure is a mitzvah, because if there's a mitzvah to say the halal, how could you say it without being mevorech on the mitzvah? The Omer Abuda Omer Shmo, kol mitzvot mevorech aleihem, over la'asiyatam. You're supposed to make a bracha, not just kodem la'asiyatam, but over la'asiyatam, which means the minute that you're about to pass by. So it's like at the instant that you're about to do it, that's when you make it. And where do we see it? Over is used in that way. Of lishna dak dume, where you come right before something. Omer nachba yisrak tichti vayoro tzachima et derech hakikar vayavor et hakushi. So the moment in which he was able to get ahead of the kushi on the way to David, that was the yaavor moment. And that's why we wanted to use this loshen here as well. Omer nachba yisrak. Abaye says, it says, Vuhu avar lifneihem, which is a reference to Yaakov Avinu getting ahead of everyone. Yigdi amri miacha, that liosid lovo vayavor malkom lifneihem vashem birosham. Now that doesn't show as powerfully that it's the moment of being over, but it certainly shows that it's a loshen of being magdim. Tanya, Rebbe was kofel badvarim, so he would say double of some of the Lashonos. And that was a reference to the double Lashonot that begin with Baruch Haba B'Shev Hashem. These Lashonos, since they were said by David and by Yishai and by Shmuel, so because of that, it was very close to Rebbe. This was, of course, the Mishpacha Samlucha was the Mishpacha of the Nisiyut. And therefore, in honor of them, he would repeat those psukim specifically. But there were others that did more than that. And even though Rebbe was kofel badvarim, but we also find that there were others who, like Rebbe Elazar ben Parta, who was mosif badvarim. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean mosif, that he added things to the halal. What does he mean by mosif? From Rabbaya, it means he added to say more things double. And he started doubling the words from Odcha, so which is what we do. Odcha Kyanitani, and that's why he started. Why is that? Because there are a lot of the psukim that are doubled anyway. The meaning of the psukim up until Odcha are all doubled, right? So, you know, Karatia Anani Bemerchavka, Shemni Loira, Tovla Chasot, Tovla Chasot, Sabuni Kidvorim, Sabuni Keshkotzim. All of those opening psukim are essentially doubled. So they are repeated in such a way that the key word is always stressed with doubling. At Odcha, that stops. So therefore, became the Minag. Let's double it by saying the whole Odcha. So he was Mosif, each one of those psukim, from Odcha Dam, not only from Baruch Haba, like it's what.
It would be a good idea to double drinking also.
Is that double drinking, you said? I think they throw you out of parties if you do that. Fine. All right. Continuing. Look at that. You even turned the people in Georgia on. Naftali is drinking. I don't know, Naftali, I'm disappointed. I mean, if you're in Georgia, I would think you'd be drinking something other than this. But that's Nogea tomorrow's sugya. Are you allowed to drink before the Daf Yomi or Wechashish that you won't be able to concentrate? Okay, so that we'll see. All right, anyway, let's continue. So, Dorash Rav Avira, Zimnin Omer LeMishmei DeRav, Zimnin Omer LeMishmei DeRavasi, Mai Dichtiv Vayigdal HaYeled Vayigamel. What is the reference to Yitzchak Avinu where it says that he was Vayigamel. This means Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'asot Suda L'Tzadikim B'yom Sheyigamel Chasdo L'Zaro Shel Yitzchak. Why are we bringing this here? Because of Kos Yishuot Zesov Hashem Hashem Ekro. So the idea, therefore, is that at the ultimate Suda, and when it's time for the Kos Shel Bracha, so we find that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes this ultimate Suda, and he tells Avram Avinu, I think you should say Birchas Hamazon. He's Mechaber Avram Avinu. So notin lo Avram Avinu kosher bracha levarich. So Avram Avinu says to all of the tzaddikim, I can't be mevarich. Yotz mimeno yishmo. So Omer, again, the question is, Omer, Omerim, is it HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving, or is it the people in the audience that are giving? Omer lo Yitzchak is the pashas that... either that Avram said to Yitzchak after he was originally given, or Omrim lo le Yitzchak. Tol uvarech, said Yitzchak, I don't feel that I can be mevarech, even though the Suda may be in my honor, but yatsa mimeni esav, Omrim lo le Yaakov, okay, you go and be mevarech. Omrim lemeni mevarech, shenasati shtei achayot b'chayehem, I had to marry two sisters, which ultimately the Torah is going to answer. And I don't think that now that we have the Suda that integrates all of our maisim across all of time, that it's appropriate to have me say the kosher brocha. So then comes along everybody to Moshe, Omer lo Moshe, tolu varech. Moshe says, how can I be mevarech if I was not zeichet to be nichnas to Eretz Yisrael? Lo b'chayai v'lo b'moti. Okay, so Yoshua was machmis klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. You be tolu varech. Omer lo heini mevarech shlo zachiti leben. Dichtiv, because in the story of the Yichus from Yoshua, we see it ends at Nun, Yoshua ben Nun. So we have the story over there is Nun beno, Yoshua beno. And we don't find that there was any ben for Yoshua. So then Omer lo le David, tol uvarech. Omer lehem, ani avarech. That is correct. I should be the one who is mevarech. V'li na'el avarech. Shnemar kos yishuot esar, uv'shem Hashem ekram. And now we are ready for our Kapitan. Thank you, Kapitan. And so we finally get to those strange words. What in the world is that all about? So, my afikuman, what exactly does that word even mean? So, Rav says it's basically a no trigon. Afikuman means afiku monaichu minhacha. So, it would mean let's get our stuff out of here and go somewhere else. And therefore, what it's saying is if you started eating your Pesach in one chabura, don't go and eat with another chabur, even though we paskin before like Rabbi Yehuda, but there's even according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a, who said that you're allowed to eat, you're just not allowed to eat in two places, but you're allowed to eat in two chaburas. So there's a gezeira that if you're still going to start eating somewhere else, that you may end up eating, I mean, in another chabur, you may end up eating in a different place. And so we're makbet on this, according to some of the paskin, even to the extent of not even switching tables. So, because of this gezera, but it's mamash, it's a chumru ba'alma. Shmuel Omar? Shmuel says, no, afikuman means bring out the goodies. So what it's talking about is not going to a new place, it's talking about even in the same place, but you should not be eating things after you eat your korban Pesach. For instance, Urdiloi Li, Guzlayala Abba, you know me, I never feel that I have finished eating properly unless we bring out some truffles or mushrooms or something. That's what I like to eat. You know, and Rav, he always eats some little pargiot or something, just, you know, to finish up with a little bit of chicken at the end of the meal. Anyway, you can't do that with your Korban Pesach. You got to stop while you're ahead. You can't be mevatel the tam of that Pesach afterwards. That has to be the last thing that you eat. Rav Chanina bar Shila, Rabbi Yochanan, they say things like, now there's a question whether this is just another example or whether they hold that it includes even more, because when Shmuel was talking about mushrooms and pargiot, those are serious desserts, but the mashmaut would be that, okay, but to have a little bit, there we go. That's dessert, I see, for Moshe Foreman, you know, a small steak or something. That's dessert, okay. I understand that's coming. Is that coming as part of your Shalosh Shudas still, or is that your going to be afterwards?
The love of Malka.
very good. So the according to some, Rabbi Yochanan is adding over here, tumorim, kloyot, vegozim, even just like goodies that are just like, you know, sweets, a little bit of nuts or something, some fruit, that even that is also, others learn that that's clear even according to Shmuel. Anything that is mevatel the tam, the others taina that it isn't mevatel the tam. Eating just something sweet afterwards leaves the taste of the main meal in your mouth, and therefore you would still be together with your Korban Pesach. Tanya kavasi de Rabbi Yochanan, ein baftirin achar ha-Pesach kigon tmarim kloyot ve'egozim. And they bring a raya that it's a machlokas, because otherwise why are we bringing Tanya kavasi? Okay. Rabbi Yoram Rishmo, ein baftirin achar matzah afikoman. Now this is big chiddush, that even where you don't have a Korban Pesach and you're eating matzah now as your the last thing as a zecher for your Pesach, even there you can't be mevatel the tam of matzah. Asks the Gemara, then why did the Mishnah say ein maftir achar Pesach afikoman? Isn't that mashma davka achar Pesach? Hudalo, avliachar matzah maftirin. No, actually, it's just the opposite. You see, it's a chiddush even after the Pesach. Look, I would have thought, lo mi boy achar matzah. I understand. I mean, how powerful is the taste of matzah? So, if you're going to eat something after that last matzah, I mean, you're going to completely forget that this is Pesach night, and that you've got this overall sensation of matzah in your mouth, because it's so easy to lose the taste of matzah. But I might have thought that la'achar ha-Pesach, I mean, that's really serious meat, and that's like a bride which is going to stay in your mouth. Just because you eat a little bit of stuff afterwards, you're not going to lose that. So la'achar ha-Pesach, do not fish time, v'lo matzi ibure, you're not going to get rid of the taste of the Pesach. So, by the way, note how much this brings out the sensation of the food as being so important for Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because remember that you have a chiyuv to continue to be misaper in Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's because of that, this we paskin halacha lemaisa, not to drink, even though it's a machlokas, whether there's any problem of ein maftir and achar hamatzah afikoman, even though we're machmir like this loshon, and ein maftir and achar hamatzah afikoman as well, this is where the word afikoman comes from. Because if ein maftir and achar hamatzah afikoman, then it means you have to look at the matzah as the afikoman, so to speak. In other words, the last thing that you're going to have is this matzah. So it's a very strange irony that the whole point of you're not allowed to have an afikoman is because you need to keep the taste of matzah in your mouth, that we call the matzah the afikoman. But you can understand how that came about, right? Okay. So because of this, let's take a look what Gabi is writing over here. Okay. Yes. Forget the intellectual. It's got to really be immersed in the taste. It's an amazing thing. So you part of that conversation. So as I was starting to say, so we're machmer not to drink anything but water. Even though there are many Rishonim that say it only says not to eat. It doesn't say not to drink, because drink doesn't get rid of the taste so badly. So we're machmer because it's so easy to be machmer at the time of the matzah, that when it comes to matzah, we shouldn't have anything that has a serious taste. And more than that, it's brought for sure not to have anything that is mishaker. So the Gra says, because you have a chiev, and which is brought by halacha, you have a chiev to continue to be oisek and tzipor yetzias Mitzrayim kol halayla until you simply fall asleep. Chotavto sheina. So therefore, you want to make certain, in the same way that we want to make sure that you don't get too high or too tired to be able to say halal. So we're machmer not to drink after the kos of your Birkat HaMazon because of the fact that you're not going to be able to say halal. That was one of the timing. So if that's the case, says the Gra, the same thing is true for your entire night. You have to be careful that you're going to have all your wits about you to be in that milieu of talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. That means that the way that the Gemara is defining that night is that it retains the taste of matzah and the taste of Pesach, obviously, when possible. So therefore, it could be that it's telling me even the Pesach, which is not so easy to lose your taste of, even the Pesach not to take an afikom. For sure, if you don't have a carbon Pesach, and the closest you're going to get to the sensations of the night is matzah, for sure you have to be careful. Maybe that's the pshat. Neima misayele, is this a raya? Hasufganim vadufshanim vaiskritin adam memalei kresoneem ubevach yochal kizayit matzah ba'achrona. So these are like different types of cakes, right? Sponge cakes, teglach, obviously all kosher Pesach, and all of these things, you can eat as much as you want in the meal of this stuff. You can have a big dessert as long as you finish with a kezias matzah at the very end. Now note that it says matzah at the very end, which means that you would not be able to have any of this stuff after the matzah. So therefore, it's saying essentially what Shmuel is saying. Anything that you're going to be eating that has a taste has to be eaten before the matzah and not after the matzah. So bachrona in berishona lo. So mashmal, you're not allowed to eat anything after the matzah. So it seems to clearly be saying like this lashon of Shmuel, says the Gemara, not necessarily. Because the point over here is there's another problem. Remember, the other problem is that we started already in the afternoon to make sure that you're going to be eating matzah with a full appetite. And certainly we had a problem with the last matzah that we eat, which was that you have to be careful that it cannot be eaten as a chila gasa. So you might have thought that you should not be allowed to eat, I'm going to eat all these cakes and all, I mean, like I won't be able to eat my afikomen, meaning the matzah that we call the afikomen. Keep that clear in your mind. We don't eat an afikomen. It's us who eat the afikomen, which is how we paskin. So I might have thought that I'm not even allowed to eat these cakes before and to plan on eating matzah at the end. And like, ugh, a piece of matzah at the end, which is what so many people as reaction is to when it's time to eat the afikomen. And so I might have thought that it's us, because we would only allow you to eat it if you've been yotzei. So that's what it's telling me. Lo mi boy bi rishona. So not only do we allow you to eat it, the berishona, we're ka'ochle te'avon. Avo ba'achrona, dilma ati lamechal achila gasa, ema lo. Look, I mean, to tell me that you can eat, you may end up eating your matzah as achila gasa, that I would think that is completely usher. How can I allow you to do that? So maybe that's what it's saying, that it is okay to eat before, and you could still eat that matzah at the very end. Maybe that's what it means. I would have thought at the very end when it was going to make me vomit. No, you don't have to worry about that, even at the end. But it's not saying that it has to be at the end. Shmuel is saying it has to be at the end. You're trying to bring a raya that has to be at an end. Can't bring that raya from here. Okay, gentlemen. But I mean, we could do the next Lushan, although I had wanted to talk about, okay, you know what, let's do the next Lushan. We could talk about the halachic implications of it tomorrow, because there are some very serious issues over here about, like, what is this chiyuv of the matzah that we do at the end, and how does it relate to the chiyuv of the matzah at the beginning? Because in a sense, we mentioned earlier, we have something of a contradiction. We're supposed to be eating the matzah l'teavon, right? Now, and that was the whole thing, like the whole day we're going to starve because we need to really feel the, wow, I'm so excited to eat this matzah. But the matzah that I eat at the end, which is Zecher l'Pesach, is not eaten l'teavon. It's eaten that it shouldn't be achila gasa. But remember, we explained that there's two levels of achila gasa. It's not achila gasa over there. It means literally that it should be simply disgusting, in which case it wouldn't have a din of achila. But it's okay to eat it when you're not feeling very much in the mood for it at all. Why? Because that's the idea also of the Korban Pesach. It's nechal lesova. We don't usually eat korbanos when, like, you're eating them just because you need to guzzle down some food because you're starving. Yet when it comes to the matzah, the original matzah, we're happy for you to eat it because you're starving, because you are starving. So I mean, like, what is the attitude to the matzah? Well, we've already seen that there's two completely different aspects to the matzah. One is keneged the lechem oni, which is a reference to the shibud. One is the matzah, which is keneged the geula. So now, which of the matzah is the one that we want to be Yotzei Achiyev with? That's a big issue. So we make the bracha on the first matzah, right? And most people have in mind to be Yotzei the Achiyev of matzah, and they eat without an interruption to make sure that they get a full kezias and so on, which seems to imply that the mitzvah is particularly that first matzah. And then the safikum is sort of like a zecher bi'alma of the Korban Pesach. However, there are many Rishonim, which we'll talk about tomorrow, who learned that, no, if you don't have a Korban Pesach, then the Iker Matzah is eaten at the end. Because you would always be eating your Korban Pesach at the end with matzah too, wouldn't you? Because it's al matzah t'morim yochlu. So because of that, the fact that we make a bracha up front doesn't matter. Because, after all, we make a bracha on the lettuce, al achilas morer, because we paskin like Reb Chisda, if all you have is lettuce, even though you're only going to be yotzei the chiyev of your morer later on when you eat it as morer. So that doesn't prove anything if that's the case. Sort of doesn't prove. It depends whether you hold that there's an issue to make sure, if you can, not to use lettuce. Now, we certainly don't say there's an issue, if you can, to use sponge cake at the beginning and not matzah, right? So, I mean, we'll have to say that even according to Rav Tosis points this out, I'm going to have to say that according to Rav Chisda, there would be not even a reason to avoid using the lettuce at the beginning, and that it's all seen as the asik in the mitzvah. Because, I mean, if you learn that it's only the second matzah, then if you had an option to eat sponge cake instead of matzah at the beginning of the Seder, so then that's what you should eat instead of making the bracha v'alachilas matzah then. Wow. Okay, so we'll talk about that tomorrow. Let's take a look at the other lashon, which actually is not the lashon that we paskin like, and we do paskin like Shmuel, not to eat an afikom, not to eat a real afikomen after the matzah that we call afikomen. Right? So there's not to eat any kind of dessert after that matzah. And this is the other lashon. Marzutra masne hachi, an exact opposite way. According to Marzutra, Shmuel was quoted as saying, Omer of Yosef and Ravina Mishmuel, that you are mafter achra matzah afikomen, and that the din of not eating is only when you have the korban pesach. But bizman hazeh, you don't have to worry about that. So there you don't have a Pesach, so you have matzah, so that's not a problem. And in this version, we try to bring a raya from the Lashon of the Mishnah. Neima misayele, is it not a clear proof from the Mishnah where it says, ein maftirin achra Pesach afikoman, which means Achra Pesach, there you can't have an Afikoman. But after Matzah, apparently you could. No, not necessarily. In this version, goes like this. Lo mi boy komar. For sure, after Matzah, you cannot have an Afikoman, because, gosh, Matzah hardly tastes like anything much. You'll ruin the whole remnants of the taste, because lo nafish taimei. But I might have thought that after Korban Pesach, which, wow, I mean, that I'm going to taste no matter what I have afterwards, maybe there's no problem of eating Afikoman. So therefore it's saying, don't eat even after the Korban Pesach. But maybe the din is you can't eat after the matzah either. In this version, Meitve, we ask from the story of the sponge cakes and the tegelach, Hasufganim, ve'adufshanim, ve'ayiskratin, adam mimalei kresomehen, ubilvach yochal makizayit matzah ba'achrona. So how can Shmuel say that you don't have to have the last thing in the night? Does not have to be the taste of matzah, and that you can even eat cake afterwards. Here it says, no siree, you must have the final thing that you eat has got to be the taste of matzah. So you see that Shmuel is wrong in this version. And what was before the dechia in the first version was the dechia of the raya, over here becomes the answer to the question. And therefore we could learn that out as a lomi boy kama, lomi boy berishona. Not only are you allowed to eat the kezias matzah at the beginning, before you eat all of these desserts, because at least then you'll have some cheshek to eat it, so you'll be eating the teyavon. But I might have thought that you won't even be allowed to eat matzah at the end of the meal, because you're not going to have any desire to eat it, and then maybe you'll be eating achila gasa, you won't even be yotze the achila. So avabachrona dati lamechla achila gasa emalo. So each one of these diukim serves in opposite roles in the different lashonos of Shmuel. The halacha that we paskin like is the first lashon of Shmuel, which says that we should not eat an afikoman after the matzah, which of course is the way that we are noheg, and that's why we call the matzah afikoman, because of that halacha. All right, lovely. This is a good way to begin a week, I think, of a Korban Pesach, so we'll be all prepared. It looks like it's going to be too late, though, to bring that Korban Pesach to Tyra, but that's okay. We've already had all those. Hello.
If we're mazit today, no? If we're mazit today, then by Pesach, it would be fine.
Need banea.
By today, you mean by Sunday?
Yeah. Or you're not mazim b'Shabbos. Well, you're not mazim b'Shabbos.
That's the question. Has always said that we're going to be matir.
It was Rabbi Akiva, yeah. Right.
Okay, everybody. Then there's still a chance. Bezrat Hashem. And we got to get to work on that Por HaDuman then tomorrow.
Okay. We're passing like Rabbi Eliezer?
Everybody's going to get rich. Kotev, everyone, have a wonderful week. And may it be the week of Eliyahu HaNavi coming very early so we don't get involved in a lot of problems preparing for Pesach. Kotev.